This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once-a-week, only-on-Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is Ask Bill. This is our monthly segment where I answer some of the real estate investing questions received during the month from emails, in-person conversations, phone calls, or through online portals such as BiggerPockets.com and Quora. But before I get started, I just want to touch base with you guys. It's the beginning of the new year, and there's a lot of great stuff happening here. We have begun implementing our 2018 strategic plan, and we are moving full speed ahead. And in that plan, at least for my plan that I put together, I'm also not only do I have my real estate goals, but I also have personal goals in there too. And I've been really blessed to be able to drop about 20 pounds, and I've got an exercise schedule going, reading a lot of good books, and spending good quality time with my family and time in God's Word too. So I'm really digging this plan. It's been fantastic. We're also hiring a person here at Manicero Properties that's going to be help assisting with systematizing some of our operations and facilitating our property search, which is a pretty aggressive right now. As you know, we're looking for 100 plus units. We're gearing our strategy a little differently here. We're really going direct to seller in a lot of our marketing activities to try to find the right properties. And we're also looking real closely at secondary and tertiary markets too. So maybe, you know, suburbs or surrounding cities outside of major MSAs or major metro areas. We're looking at, what kinds of properties might be available in those areas. We're doing this, you know, for a number of reasons. One, this is our first 100 plus unit. So we don't have a real solid track record right now because we haven't been in the 100 plus category yet. So brokers are less likely to give us their off-market referrals. So one, we have to kind of get out there and look for ourselves as well. It's a competitive market out there. We're trying to find properties that meet our criteria, that are undervalued, that we can get and have some built-in equity once we purchase them. I'm talking a lot with those who are interested in investing through our syndication, because we will be syndicating this property. And it's been fantastic meeting many of you. If any of you are listening and you're interested in real estate investing, both in an active sense and in a passive investment sense. And so there are those out there who are interested in being a passive investor on our projects ahead too. We would just invite you to get on our investor newsletter, and you can do that through our website at olddogsreinetwork.com or at maniceroproperties.com. And in the show notes for today, there'll be a link to those things. Well, let's get on with our questions. Okay, first one here is from Tracy Para. She is a new investor and really interested in what suggestions I would have for a newbie investor. What kinds of things should she do? She wants to be a wise steward of her money, and she wants to invest it for God's kingdom. She's a young Christian who wants to get out there and do real estate as a means to be able to help her to fund good things that she wants to do with those funds. So I told her, be wise, be a wise steward of the funds that you have and really do your research. The main thing is that you get a good foundation, and that's through education. First thing, begin reading a lot. We have on our website a list of books, top 20 books that I would recommend for new investors to learn about real estate investing. There's also a great podcast to listen to besides this one. No, there are some great ones out there that you can latch onto that can give you the information you want, depending on what your strategy is. Webinars, there are a lot of other types of resources out there. I would recommend getting a mentor. That's really key, somebody that can work with you on, all the way through purchasing your first property. I've got a website episode of this podcast, 006, on how to get started in real estate investing, and I elaborate a lot on that. I'll give you some of the basic fundamentals. And since Tracy, you're a little limited on funds. I also recommend listening to episode 021, which is about buying properties with little or no money down. We interview Brandon Turner from Bigger Pockets. He has a great book on the same subject, which is in our top 20 real estate books as well. I would also recommend, too, just you get out there and just once you get some of these fundamentals down, start finding properties and learn how to analyze them. I would go through as many as you can. Do like practice deals like you're really going to make an offer. You could even use, we have our free 3-minute deal analyzer on our website, which you can get at olddogsreinetwork.com. And that helps you to go through a whole bunch of deals at the same time. So you can start analyzing and looking at the numbers and seeing how you can make it work for your particular need. So that would be my suggestion. I would read, get the education, start practicing, analyzing, learning some of the numbers parts of it. And, really be wise about before moving forward that you have a good foundation, and then you got to make that first step and make that first purchase. Well, we've got another question here, and this is one that basically was asked, should I become a real estate agent first if my goal is to become an investor? And this is one of those areas that people will vary from person to person. But first off, it's not necessary to be a real estate agent to be a real estate investor. And there are pros and cons on either side of this. Some of the pros are, yeah, you're going to get a great education, to pass the regulations for the license. You need to study a lot and know about local real estate laws. You also have access to the MLS, which is lists all the available properties. You can get some just as they hit the market, or you can find some that have been on there a long time that are expiring that people may be willing to take a reduced price on. You see homes faster. You don't need to wait for an agent to show you a property. You can generate commissions if you want to sell some of your properties. You can also buy and sell as an agent. You save money on the purchase price because you don't have to pay agent commissions. When you find off-market properties, you can buy and or list the property. And if you know how to work it, you can also make more money on a deal than a non-agent investor. So those are some of the pros. The cons are you must always disclose to your sellers that you are an agent, and that might hinder your opportunity for the sale. If you're in the midst of negotiating with a seller to get seller financing, they find out you're an agent, they may just back away. If you buy a property, you have to follow specific disclosure requirements. You cannot get commissions if you buy out-of-state properties. And keep in mind, your license is only good for the state that you live in and that you apply in. If you're marketing to find off-market properties, your letters, postcards, all marketing materials must disclose that you're an agent. Again, which could discourage people from responding. As an agent, you must be part of a brokerage. Your responsibilities there may limit the amount of time you have for your actual investing activities. So if you have to find a local brokerage that will let you hang your certificate on the wall, so to speak, you may have to use your Sundays for open houses and things of that nature, depending on your relationship with that brokerage. There are definitely pros and cons. I am not a real estate agent. I don't have a license. I have interviewed many successful real estate investors, some of which are agents and some of which are not. A couple of podcasts I might refer you to. Mark Ferguson, who's a very active investor. He buys single-family homes, episode 087. Again, there's going to be a link in our show notes to anything I'm talking about here. But he is a successful real estate investor, and he's also a broker. He sees the benefits on the side of having that license. In episode number 107, a guy named Brian Murray, who he was a teacher with no previous real estate experience. He jumped right into buying commercial real estate. In fact, he bought an office building as his first property, and he is very successful. He does not have his license. So those are a couple of episodes you might want to take a look at. I hope that answered that question. Here we have another question from Ray Berg. Ray says, I'm not as old a dog as you. He's only 56. Yeah, he's just a young pup here. But, you know, we'll take that into consideration on his question here. Just kidding you, Ray. Okay. But he's asking a real, real good question I get asked a lot, and that's about liquidity. How much should one keep in liquid form like cash or in the bank or stocks in order to cover unanticipated expenses and life events? These unanticipated expenses could be a few thousand for roof repair to help a relative, or if one has a health crisis. Dave Ramsey recommends people set aside 6 months of expenses and savings for an emergency. When it happens, you could lose your job. You know, you need time to find another job. So that's on a personal sense. In real estate investing, you also need to be able to cover the expenses for that property if things happen as well. So he asked, how much should one set aside? How might one structure his or her real estate investments to liquidate if further funds are necessary? And so, you know, these are a number of different questions on this area. So let's just try to tackle this. Now, you know, the problem with real estate education, a lot of times people emphasize the no money down, no credit niche. Well, you can do that. It's perfectly achievable. And as I mentioned, Brandon Turner's great book on that and the podcast he was on are good references there. But you really do have to have money set aside. And it is a real smart idea. A generally accepted rule is to have 3 to 6 months of operating capital and reserve. So there's two different things here. One, for your personal, okay, just for your personal existence, if your income source, something happens and it stops. Let's say you've got a pension, you're retired already, you got a pension, you got Social Security, and something happens, Social Security dries up and it doesn't exist anymore, your pension funds crash, whatever it may be. You need that reserve in there to cover those times. That's on a personal basis. But for your properties, you need to have the same thing. So a 6 month reserve as well. And again, I'm emphasizing the conservative here. Why do you need reserves? Okay, first off, the banks, they want to know that you can cover your mortgage payments, which are PITI. They include your property tax and your insurance as well in there and those amounts. So if you just look at that amount alone and multiply it times 6, your monthly amount, I mean, they're going to look that you can at least cover 6 months with some sort of reserve. But as an investor, you have to be aware of other things. There are vacancies. You have appliances that are going to break. You may have insurance deductibles you're going to have to pay. You've got minor repairs, major repairs, things like roofs and ACs, air conditioning systems, and foundation issues or plumbing issues that may come up. You also have the turnaround between tenants that you have to deal with. And sometimes a tenant can trash a property, and you still have to allow for that and have funds to be able to, you know, make those repairs. So as I mentioned, the bank requirements are there, 6 months of your personal mortgage, your cash flow. Those are things that the bank will look at. As you get into larger commercial properties, they're going to want to make sure that that liquidity is there. Even if it's a multi-million dollar apartment building, they're going to want to make sure that you can make those mortgage payments first off and then cover the expenses of the property second off. So, you know, you just have to kind of look at that. If you're calculating both, you look at your personal expenses. Let's say your personal expenses are, you know, $5,000 a month, and your rentals may be another $5,000. So that's $10,000 a month. If you have to do that for 6 months, you got to have $60,000 in reserve. So you need to plan ahead. That is key, to have funds set aside that you can do that. Now, Ray also asked, you know, is there something you can do with your properties to make them more liquid? And really, outside of having a line of credit available, like a HELOC, then you know, you could have that, but usually have that on your personal resident, not on your rental property. So yeah, it's a good idea if you have some sort of reserve fund like that, where you don't really start chalking up payments. You know, it has an interest rate, you're already pre-approved, you can write checks as you need them. That's kind of a good backup. But as far as properties are concerned, sometimes, yeah, you can think, well, I have a property that's already paid for, I don't have a mortgage on, I could sell that. You just don't know how long that process is going to take. And for emergencies, you want to make sure those funds are readily available. So that's my two cents. I tend to lean on the conservative side there, that you do need to make sure that you've got those funds at least 6 months worth of liquidity. And for our final question here, this one reads, my husband and I have $500,000 to invest. We are both in our 40s. We want to retire in our 50s. What is a safe investment with a good return, like 5% or more, with limited risk? Well, real estate by far is your best investment, in my opinion. I think you've got a number of different options with the funds that you have. Now, you can take all of those funds and invest them, or maybe pull out like $400,000 and hold on to $100,000 for a backup, as we talked about reserves or what have you. But these are what I would see as maybe three possibilities to invest to get your best return. The first one is to buy a small apartment building for $500,000 or $400,000. The second choice, I would say, would be invest in, let's say, four or five different apartment buildings. You could buy four or five different apartment buildings valued at $500,000 each or $400,000 each by putting $100,000 down on each property, okay, and taking a mortgage. And then the third, you could buy a larger apartment, just use the full amount, the $400,000 or $500,000, to purchase, let's say, a apartment building, a 100-plus unit apartment building for $2.5 million, and use the $500,000 or as your down payment, for example. So I'm going to keep these examples really simple, because I'm not talking closing costs and rehab costs and things of that nature. Just, you know, basic options here available if you're going to invest in real estate with those funds to get your best return. So option one, I actually looked and found a 24-unit apartment building in Pocatello, Idaho. Now, don't know the market, don't know if this is a good place to buy or not, but I found the property, and there's a property there, and you'll have a link in our website. You can actually click on my link here and see this property that recently sold for $400,000. It generates $108,000 a year in rental income. That's a 27% return. Plus, we don't even talk about the equity that may accumulate in this property as well. So for your goal of the 5%, you've already beat that big here just by going with option one and using the full amount, paying cash, no mortgage payment here, to generate your return that you're looking for. Option two, let's say you buy four 20-unit apartments valued at, let's say, $400,000 each by putting $100,000 down and taking out a mortgage on each. Your cash flow will go down to 15%. Or $61,200 annually because of the mortgage payments, but still a great return on your investment here. You can just pay it down and maybe even pay it down and pay off the mortgage quickly in 10 years or so, and then you can boost up your cash flow at that time. Option three, let's say you take the $500,000 down and to buy a 124-unit apartment building. Now, I found a 125-unit apartment in Memphis, Tennessee, or it's $2,495,000. The apartment generates $749,000 annually, and that's a cash-on-cash return of 150% and a 29% ROI. So, plus you'll have the tax advantages that go along with this too. So, that could also be a great option for you too. So, granted, these examples are Type C properties, so they do require a little more extra work and perhaps additional investment as you go down the road there. you're going to find you're going to get a more solid B property, but with C's, that's where you can kind of find your deals and you get your biggest returns, but they do require much more work. So no matter what you invest in, I think that the fact that real estate is a tangible asset, unlike stocks and bonds, real estate markets can fluctuate too, just like the stock market. But the reality is that people will still always need a place to live, and apartments or rental properties provide that basic need. Whereas in the stock market, if a stock drops off in value, and it may never come back up, and you can't do anything about it. The paper that the stock is, the stock certificates or whatever is all you have, and that's not going to be worth much value. But that land will always have value. So I still think that it is a great way to go and a strong way to invest. Yeah, I think one of the greatest stories we had was our first episode with Joe Fairless. Joe has got this great podcast, that's a daily podcast. But he talked about how his first, multifamily, it was a 168 unit apartment. And he got in really on a master lease where he didn't have to put anything down. He's grown his little real estate empire from there to way beyond, 28 million in real estate holdings. So you can look at real estate. You can look at a lot of different things. You might want to diversify. I understand. But overall, I think real estate is one of your best investment tools, at least right now. And I think for a long time to come, real estate has always been a good, solid part of anyone's investment portfolio. Well, that's it for today. Please note, all Dog listeners, everything presented here today, including the links, can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks for listening and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.